Dear Dharma teachers and dear Dharma practitioners, tonight is the second night of our Dharma Buddha name chanting retreat or Dharma assembly meeting. And I will continue introduction of Buddhism for the second night. Early this year in March, the librarian or Huazhang librarian led by the Guanzhang and a group of people went to mainland China for a visit. During that trip, we introduced Buddhism in very simple language briefly to our Chinese friends. And I'd like to also explain to you about a simple in a simple manner of Buddhism so that we understand the essence of Buddha's teaching and also be able to help and explain to other people who may have misconceptions about Buddhism. People in this world like to treat Buddhism as one of the six great religions. However, Buddhism originally is not a religion, which we have briefly mentioned in last night's lecture, in that the famous Buddhism scholar, Mr. Ouyang Jingwu, delivered a speech at the 4th Zhongshan University, and the subject of that speech was Buddhism is not a religion nor a philosophy, and yet it is necessary for modern people and the modern world. We can take a look at the Buddhism and maybe try to categorize into four types. The first type is like a religion, which is not the original intention of Buddha's ceremony. The second type is like academic approach, which they treat Buddhism as a philosophy and study about it. And thirdly, was very sad, is like evil religion, used the name, holy name of Buddhism, but it was actually evil. Superstition and all those things. It is a good saying in our tradition or in a Chinese proverb that worldly people like to believe in phony things and not real things, like to listen to liar and not advice. And the fourth type of Buddhism in the mind of a world of people, it's like commercial show, which is very attractive, and that's not also a true Buddhism. The true Buddhism is the most profound, real, and the most valuable education. Because we have a newcomers tonight, so I'd like to make a little more supplemental explanation about the origination of Buddhism introduced into China. In the history, about AD 67, and this year is now 1993, so it's been over 1900 years ago, that Buddhism was originally transmitted to mainland China at a Han dynasty. At that time, it was accepted as a special guest by the Foreign Affairs Department. And because the emperor enjoyed this foreign culture and education very much, and we cannot entertain foreign guests, honorary guests forever, so In that time, they create a new branch organization called a Si, or temple, in addition to our regular educational system at the Han Dynasty. And that temple is called the White Horse Temple. In the temple, there's a statue, a picture of the Dharma Master who transmitted Dharma over to mainland China. And there was also a statue of the White Horse, because Chinese people are usually grateful to things that can benefit them. So they even remember the merits of the White Horse, which carried the sutras over to mainland China. And that was not for any religious reason, just in remember of the contribution of the Dharma Master and the horse. So the education department becomes two parts. The first one is, at that time, promote traditional Confucius and Mencius teachings as traditional education handled by educational department. The other increased additional part is the Buddha's education, which was promoted and fully supported by Chinese emperor at that time, and therefore become very successful and was widely spread in China. It became part of the Chinese culture in the educational system. And Buddhism became a religion was no more than 300 years ago. Why Buddhism is the most virtuous and most perfect education? Because it teaches people to how to restore original nature, original realization, and original capabilities. The original nature is talked about reasoning and is not easy to understand. The original realization refers to, and the original capability, both are refers to the function of that nature, and is relatively easier, is easier to understand. The original wisdom, the original realization means the original wisdom. And original capability means the capability that we can do. Sometimes we heard the praise to the Lord in other religion, that the Lord knows everything, that the Lord can do everything. This original capability that we are talking about is just like that, capable to do anything. And that is our being's original potentiality. If a person do not confuse too much and still have some level of wisdom, then his capability is somewhat larger. If a person is confused a lot, his capability and original wisdom is blocked more than his capability and realization or wisdom would become relatively small. No matter what level of wisdom you are, Buddhism is an education that is capable to help all beings restore their original and originally equal wisdom or originally profound nature. And therefore, other type of education cannot be compared with Buddha's education. And that's why we say the Buddhism is an education which is most profound and virtuous. In Lord Buddha's Sakyamuni's 49th teaching, there are many valuable and wisdom contained. However, transmitted to men in China in the ancient time was not complete. It is only the essence and the most important ones translated and carried over to China. At ancient time, the only two way of transporting merchant or books, that is by land or by sea. By land, have to travel a long distance through this mountain called the Heaven Mountain, very rigorous road to get all the way to mainland China. Or if it's traveled by sea, in ancient time, the ship is relatively small and only driving force is by wind. So you can imagine not too many volumes of the sutra can be carried over. Although in Han Dynasty, the Chinese people already invented the printing techniques, but still not widely spread. Therefore, in India, they have not the fortune to share this new technology of that time. They still write down words on the special tree leaves by cutting that into some rectangular shape or square shape and write down at most four lines, and that's the maximum capacity of that leaf. So if we're going to contain teaching of the Sutra of Universe, which is a big, huge volume in Buddhism's sutra, it will take several trucks to contain if it's going to be recorded in such a small size on the tree leaves. And even though with these difficulties, with these books carried over to mainland China, the second barrier or difficulty is to translate. Due to limitation of manpower and wealth, only the most important sutra were translated selectively, and that is so-called Buddhism's canon, Da Zhang Jing, the Great Collection, which is not the complete Buddha's teaching, but is the most essential and most important teaching out of Buddha's teaching in 49 years of his preaching life. In Japan and Korea, they too have Buddhism canons, and they all came from China, and that's why their canons were still written in Chinese characters. Up to now, there are 50 different versions of the Buddhism canons. In room 501 over here, we have a collection of 10 versions of different canons collected from different time in Chinese history, and we have 10 out of 50 different versions. And the canon has tremendous content. If people ask you, the Buddhist, what do your canon teach about? And you answered or replied, I don't know. Well, that would be very embarrassing, because the canon teaches us basically two things, the life and the cosmos. The life refer to ourselves. The cosmos refer to the living environment. And that's why Buddhism education is most important. It's so important that you can even set aside other education, but not Buddhism education, because you cannot but to understand yourself. You have to understand the environment that you're living in. And that's why Buddha's education is very important to all sentient beings in 9 realms of existence, because they all need to know themselves and environment they live in. Buddhism was often time referred to as a religion, superstitious, or a religion that practices multiple deities. This is a big and huge misunderstanding, misconcept. Because we call Buddha Sakyamuni is our original teacher. It's oftentimes referred to the original teacher Buddha Sakyamuni. So from that title, it clearly describes the relationship to Buddha and us. It's a relationship between the teacher and the student. Of course, the Bodhisattvas, they are also our teachers. And Bodhisattvas are the senior student of Buddhas. So all Buddha, Bodhisattvas are teachers. And teacher and students are fundamentally equal because we are not created by them. We are all equal as far as the original nature is concerned. When we decorate the place with Buddha's statue or picture, it is not a worship. It is for two reasons. Number one, to respect and to remember their kindness to give us profound teaching. Secondly, it is served as a reminder that we shall follow their examples and try to restore our original capabilities and so on and so forth. Then people ask me, if that's the case, why don't you put Buddha Sakyamuni's portrait, statue, or picture instead? You set up Amitabha's portrait or statue. Well, because Buddha Sakyamuni wants us to restore our original nature, become enlightened, and particularly teach us a special method of chanting Amitabha method, Amitabha's holy name. And if we listen to the teacher's advice and practice accordingly, that's why we decorate or put the Amitabha statue over here instead of original teacher's statue. That's precisely the example of a good student, because you follow teacher's advice. Then what is Amitabha Buddha? A means nothingness, or sometimes maybe translated as infinity. Mitta refers to the quantity, and Buddha means the enlightened one. So Amitabha Buddha means the infinite enlightenment, which is to restore original nature, to bring about our Buddhahood completely. And the next two statue or picture around Amitabha Buddha, one is Guanyin, which indicate or represent original capability. And the other one, Da Shi Zi Pu Sa, the great spiritual power Bodhisattva Mahasattva, excuse me, refers to original realization. And therefore, from this decoration of three holy deities, which is not as a religious meaning, but is an educational reminder. To return to Amitabha meaning refers to return to our original nature. To follow Guanyin means to return to our original capability, and to follow the great spiritual power Bodhisattva means to return to original realization. Therefore, this setup, it is an education and definitely not idol worship. Once nature has numerous virtues, talents, and wisdoms, and these are These are the capability of original nature, and they all contained in one. For example, in our nature, we have natural compassion, loving kindness. For that, we give a name, Guanyin Bodhisattva Mahasattva, because Guanyin is a good example or representation of loving kindness, compassion. In our nature, we also have wisdom. Wisdom is oftentimes represented by the great spiritual power, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, another assistant to Amitabha Buddha. And for wisdom, we simply use the great spiritual power, Bodhisattva, as a representative. In our nature, we also have natural respect and love to our teachers and elder ones, and that in Buddhism is represented by Kristikaba Bodhisattva Mahasattva. In our nature, we also have great and broad mind to wish all beings to be well, and that is oftentimes represented by the Puxian Pusa. In Sanskrit, it's Samatabhadra Bodhisattva Mahasattva. Unfortunately, because of these representations are numerous, and people think Buddhism is a religion that worship multi-deities. Actually, all these virtues, wisdoms and talents, are one, containing one person's, and just derived from that nature, shows in different aspects. So, Buddhism is not only a religion of one deity, it is a religion of no deity at all. But for the sake of education, to help sentient beings restore their original nature, Buddhism skillfully utilizes the art, the music, to help people to become educated. And that's expressed in architecture and statue and all these things. It is not a worship or religion, but has been misunderstood. It is an education to restore original nature and utilize very skillful methods. And fortunately, these were again misunderstood. So the modern society has artistic education, try to make teaching and art, make the student enjoy. But that was long contained and was well advanced in Buddha's original teaching and his methods. In the Sutra of the Universe, and also observing the Infinite Life Sutra, where we can see many holy states, which is a beautified environment described in the Buddha and Bodhisattva's level. So the education is to beautify our body and mind. And therefore, we can see in the temple, which is actually a place for education, we use incense, flower, flutes, and lamps. The incense represent the fragrance of our nature, and in Buddhism it further represent the fragrance of precept and samadhi. Because the incense offering, if you misunderstood that as an offering to Buddha or Bodhisattva, that is misconcept, actually superstitions. The incense is to remind you need to return to your original nature and also special type of fragrance will facilitate the meditation environment. It is not offered to let Buddha smell the incense that you are offering. And in Chinese tradition, the reason we use incense or the fragrance, it came from in ancient time from the western borderline. If there's any invader invading the country, they will light up the wolves' waste and generate strong smoke. If you see carefully, or if you travel to mainland China visiting the Great Wall, you're going to notice at a certain location of the Great Wall, there is a smoke station where the wolves' waste was burned and heavy smoke came out, and they transmit the smoke from one station to another for thousands of miles. It takes 20 some hours to pass the message to the capital city that invader is coming. So that's the Chinese tradition to use that represent the nature. The next one is flower offering. Flower represent the cause. If you want a good result, you should have a good flower which will bear good fruits. And every time when you see the flower, it's a reminder that we should plant good seed, therefore we can expect good results. For the fruit offering, it represents the result, particularly the karmic result. For Buddhists, when we see the fruit offering, our thinking is different from average people. We are thinking about the utmost supreme Bodhi fruit, meaning to become fully enlightened as Buddha. Therefore, all these are served as inspiration or reminder for the educational purposes. How about offering water? The water indicates tranquility, equanimity, and purity. That represent the Buddha nature within in all sentient beings equally. If your mind can be pure and equal like that of water, then I congratulate you that you have become Buddha. So water offering is to remind us, try to bring our mind back to that egg water, pure equanimity and tranquility. And finally, the offering of lamps, LAMPS, indicating two things, bright light or righteousness of our nature, and also it indicates sacrifice oneself and help or save others. Just like the candle burns itself with light emitting and shining to the darkness. Today, we offer electrical lamps. That meaning becomes not so clear now. So overall, all these teaching aids that used in temple for education or reminder as an inspiration are artistic teaching in Buddhism and it started a long time ago. Unfortunately, most people do not understand its true meaning. Nowadays in the United States, you may not be able to see the ancient structure and architecture of traditional Chinese temple. But those temples being restored in mainland China, you can see from their structure and architecture, it still contains a very profound educational meaning. First, when you enter a classical ancient temple is the Heavenly King Palace, which he also called Dharma Protection Deity's Place. It is Dharma protection deity, not to protect the place as you would think. It is to protect you if you follow the Dharma properly. And in the middle is the statue of Happy Buddha with big belly, which indicates compassion, equanimity, and total tolerance. There's a saying that says to generate a mind of equanimity and express in a happy, smiling face. This is the teaching of Buddha Sakyamuni, that when you first enter into the temple, which is the educational center, you need to check yourself. Are you have a broad mind, willing to learn? Are you have happy and balanced personality, able to learn? Which is indicated by the Happy Buddha right outside in the first palace. If you do not possess these qualities, then Buddha do not want you to become his students, because you do not qualify for those basic requirements. And after that one, if you entered to the next place in the temple, would be the great, literally means hero, precious place, meaning the enlightened Buddha. But we are going to discuss that later. Let's concentrate on the first place when you first enter into the temple. There are four deities, so to speak. The eastern direction is a statue or picture of the country protection deity in the east, which is a statue, but remind people, are we fulfilling our duties? Are we do things sincerely? If you are employee for a company, if you do a job properly, sincerely, and wholeheartedly, then you have all the trust and you will be a useful, reliable employee of that company. And this is the teaching from Buddha, by working harder as an employee, and therefore, if any layoff comes, you probably will survive. And it's not so much of chanting Buddha name for protection or request Buddha's mercy to protect you. It is already indicated in the vivid statue that we should study, we should perform our duty sincerely. As a father or mother or a member of the family, that refers to, are you sincerely performing your duty as a member in this family? If so, then this family will be a happy one. And likewise, this can be applied to any places and any person, to whatever his or her role is, by fulfilling his duties. The second one is another statue called the Prosperity of Heavenly King in the South, which indicates diligently working to seek for constant progress and never stop. And the third one and fourth one are other deities which tell us how to be prosperous. So it comes the third deity, which is Wide-Eyed Heavenly Deity in the West, which means we should always open our eyes and constantly aware and watch things to learn. And the fourth one is the deity of profound knowledge in the north, which means we should learn and absorb experiences and gain knowledge. By doing this, then you can almost for sure to become prosperous in your life. After the entrance in the classical temple comes the great Buddha Sakyamuni's main hall. And this hall, if you look from outside, it contains two layers. But once you enter inside, it's only one, and you cannot see, it's like two layers. So looking from outside seems to have two layers, which indicating the relative truth and absolute truth. And once you enter inside, there was only one, no two, no three, no four. So therefore, the structure itself indicates that two means multiple, one means singular, that a multiple and single, single and multiple are no different. They all harmoniously contain within each other. And that is the level of this universe sutra described. And because sentient beings have different capability and karmic potentials, karmic obstacles, therefore Buddha has to make his teaching most easily understood to people for their capacities. That's why for those who want to cut off egoistic self, there was Theravada Buddhism's teaching to cut off ego. For those who understand not only the ego has to be detached, but also the craving to the Dhamma, to the truth, is another addiction, another attachment, then this is Mahayana's teaching to cut off the attachment to the truth. And then there are also another supreme, that is to cut off everything, that is the supreme teaching which Pure Land Buddhism belongs to this one. That's why, generally speaking, it can be categorized into three layers of Buddhism, or even five different types of teaching, but ultimately, it is only one supreme teaching, which Amitabha Buddhism is talk about. And I'd like to give you one example described in the sutra. How come this supreme teaching is so inconceivable in its value helping sentient beings? In Buddha's time, there was Indian king by the name of Aduli, who has made very severe bad sin that you can possibly think about, which is try to kill Buddha, break the harmonious Sangha organization apart, kill the father, and even attempt to kill the mother. And he has done all these evil things that not average people would like to do. For this kind of sinful person, at the time of his ending of life, out of great repentance, Buddha teaching the Amitabha method, and he repented himself and recite Buddha's name, and he was born into the Pure Land instead of falling down to the hell. You may say, well, this person may be very lucky. He probably entered into Buddha's world of a low level. According to the sutra description, he was born into the second highest level into the Pure Land. And that is the inconceivable virtue and power of this Amitabha Buddhism. What kind of people can be born into Amitabha's Pure Land? One is people like you and me who understand and who try to accumulate merits and practicing Amitabha while we are still alive and young and healthy. The second type person who can be born into Pure Land is those who sincerely repent themselves and cut off their wrongdoings and chanting Amitabha Buddha name because of their sincerity and great devotion. Even though the time they do was very short, they can be born into Pure Land at a level higher than us. And that comes back to Buddha's teaching that we should always treat other people with a mind of equanimity and not despise anybody, because he or she may be born into Pure Land higher than us, regardless what kind of person he may be now. When I went to mainland China, visiting these old temples with a classical structure, I also noticed there are tourists and also tour guide explaining the structure and the temple and the history. I listened to them but I don't see the profound education aids was properly explained to the tourists. Instead of making correction, I utilize this opportunity and explain to people around me, friends around me, the purpose of this temple, the structure of this and that, and that draws attention to other tourists. They open their eyes and ears, listen to what I said. Looks like they realize it was very wonderful education by just looking at a structure of the classical temples. And I wish that people understand the structure and the meaning behind it. And when they visit the temple, it is a valuable field trip, so they can learn, they can understand. And then if they appreciate, maybe they will follow and become and practice Buddha Dhamma. And that will be the purpose of promoting Buddhism without any religious approaches. The religion is oftentimes dealing with emotion, make people very zealous in pursuing whatever that religion tried to describe. But Buddhism is taking approach with rationale. It is not approached with emotion. There are some people who become the Buddhists, but then after a few years of practice, they go backwards or drop out their practices. And that's because their motivation was emotional. On the other hand, if your approach to Buddhism is out of rationale, and the more you understand the true meaning of Buddhism, you will increase your faith and you will never regressive. Buddha Sakyamuni has given teachings for 49 years, almost without rest. The purpose is to make people understand the real meaning of education and benefit themselves. When one truly benefits oneself and have pleasure and joy out of the Dhamma, out of the truth, he will never go backwards. The Chinese proverb says, when a person encounter a happy event, he or she will then in good spirits. Therefore, if one person truly understand the value of Buddhism and the result of practice Buddha Dhamma in daily life, then he is constantly live in happy life. And therefore, they should never regress, go backwards. Because Buddhism is an education to help sentient beings alleviate suffering and obtain happiness. For it is education to help achieve family happiness, to achieve harmony in a society. It is such an education. And that's why we like to promote, advocate Buddha's teaching or education. And that's why we call Buddha the most compassionate one. Because his compassion is he wants to make all beings happy. And as a disciple of Buddha, we should do the same. And that can also be pointed out at the end of every sutra. The last portion is called circulation. It is to encourage Dhamma meeting members from the Dhamma meeting, after they have understand the profound teaching, enjoyed the Dhamma joy, they will, and it's also encouraged to promote Buddhism and their understanding and make all other beings receive the benefits. Therefore, when I look at any book published in the market, the first thing I do is take a look at the backside of the book, which is equivalent to the sutra circulation portion. If I see the word says, there is a copyright, if anyone reproduces without permission will be pursued through legal approaches, I will drop this book, no matter how wonderful the book may describe, because that author, thinking about making money, thinking about a self, with such a selfish attitude, no matter what he says, cannot have true meaning. At least what he says and what I see are not in agreement. Because in Buddha's teaching, and also from many examples of the sutra, the ending portion is always circulation and benefit all. And that's why the sutra generally from our organization always free of charge for free distribution. And I like to advise you in the future when you check out a book, take a look at the last page to see if they insist the copyright. The enlightenment means those who realize cosmos and the life, and that's Buddha or Bodhisattvas. And for those who do not realize cosmos and life are called ordinary sentient beings. Buddha or Bodhisattvas are not God, and ordinary sentient beings are not sinful person either. They are our sentient beings, and only differences are do they realize or enlightened to the cosmos and life or not. For the definition of cultivation, it is if one have a proper understanding and then apply to daily life, that is cultivation. Without proper understanding, just hard working, one could still practicing diligently in the wrong path or blindly. So what is cultivation? It is to correct the wrong viewpoints, the wrong actions. From ordinary sentient beings level all the way to Bodhisattva's level are not separate from this basic principle. Cultivate and improve wrong viewpoints and wrong actions through the body, speech, and the mind. That's the principle and the true meaning of cultivation. The keys for cultivation are threefold: realization, righteousness, and purity. Realization refers to Buddha's enlightenment. Righteousness refers to the teaching of the Dhamma. Purity are also referred to those who live in a pure life like monks or nuns. The sixth patriarch, Huinen, stated very well in the Platform Sutra. He said, take refuge to the enlightenment, to the righteousness, and to the purity. And then he explained, righteousness refers to Buddha, realization refers to Buddha, righteousness refers to Dhamma, and purity refers to Sangha. Because the essence of this triple gem really refer to the triple gem of one's self nature, which is enlightened, righteous, and pure. And then the external triple gem means the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. The goals of Buddhism is to be realized or enlightened and not to be confused. This is the original nature. To be righteous and not to be evil. This is the original capability. To be pure and not to be stained. This is the original realization. I may have this little mixed up. But basically, the goal is to be realized, to be righteous, and to be pure. If one's mind truly enter into realization or enlightenment, then the righteousness and purity will follow automatically. And likewise, if one's mind is totally into righteousness, then realization and purity will follow. So once you obtain one item, the other two comes automatically. And to do that, the steps are precept, step one, meditation to obtain samadhi, step two, and wisdom achievement, step three. The Buddhism's canons talk about three major categories. The sutra pretty much discuss samadhi aspect. The precept portion of this canon discuss about the precepts, and discussion portion of the canon discuss about wisdom aspect. So it's like entering into the realization from three different doors. Like this place, we have two entrances. To enter into total realization of the Buddha nature or Buddhahood, we have three doors. The door of enlightenment, which Zen Buddhism belongs to. The door of righteousness, which all the teachings school belong to, because they teach all kind of proper views and many good teachings. Another door to enter into the same place is the door of purity, which Pure Land school belongs to, by purifying one's body, speech, and mind. And once you choose the door and enter into the enlightened stage, whether it may be pure door or the door of enlightenment or the door of righteousness, once you enter there, it's all the same. And therefore, as a disciple, a practitioner of Pure Land, we should respect other schools and their approaches. We must not praise ourselves and look down upon other schools and their practices. Because once you enter into the same result, it is the same as other people can enter into the same place.